WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Hawaii's Attorney General says a third party will review Maui County's response to deadly wildfires after its Emergency Management Administrator did not activate warning sirens. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti asked him,
do you regret not sounding the sirens?
I do not.
Wildfires have killed 111 people so far, and more than 1,000 are still unaccounted for. CBS's Elizabeth Campbell is in Maui.
Many people we talk to say they are keeping hope alive. Until they see their loved one's ashes or they get that DNA confirmation, they are going to keep hope.
FEMA tells CBS News many people there died in their homes, and it could take years to identify them. In Canada, hundreds of wildfires are still burning. Minister of Forests Bruce Ralston.
We are urging people to stay aware of the wildfire situation in their area, to take precautions, and to report fires when they see them.
Officials have started air evacuations to help people escape fires near Yellowknife. California is bracing for Hurricane Hillary now. It's still strengthening off the coast of Mexico, and forecasters say it could become a major hurricane by later tonight. Former President Trump is lashing out against protesters who've now indicted him four times.
I think they're sick people. I think they are people that have no idea how the world works, and they have no idea the anger they cause.
Trump on Fox Business, but his allies on Capitol Hill are pushing back. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Congress calls it the power of the purse. Several Trump allies are now supporting bills to strip federal funding from special counsel Jack Smith, including from Jack Smith's paycheck. Democrats blast the plan, saying they're doomed to fail and that they are nakedly partisan. But a third proposal to add this language to congressional spending bills under negotiation could derail fragile talks to avert a shutdown.
President Biden will host a trilateral summit tomorrow at Camp David with the leaders of Japan and South Korea. The Pentagon says it could be the most historic event there since peace talks between Egypt and Israel in the 70s. Parents and service providers are urging Indiana's governor now to protect Medicaid reimbursements for autism therapy. Republican State Rep. Becky Cash.
I just know that our schools cannot, in January, absorb these kids, and the needs of these children won't be met in the schools.
They're said to drop by nearly half. The spotted lanternfly could go after vineyards. Brian Eschenar is an insect expert at Cornell.
They don't like to stay in just one plant. They have a broad palate, and they can feed on over 100 different plant species.
And growers don't want to use too many pesticides. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Pewaukee woman will go to trial for charges related to allegedly putting her severely autistic daughter in danger, which resulted in her death. Prosecutors say Amy Laskowitz's 23-year-old daughter weighed only 70 pounds when she died in January. Laskowitz could go to prison for up to 40 years if she's found guilty. Court records show her lawyer wanted the case to be dropped, but a preliminary hearing went ahead with probable cause found for a trial. Business owners in the city of Waukesha can reach out to the water utility with questions about the water changeover. In mid-September, Waukesha will shift from using groundwater to Lake Michigan water. The change will bring variations in water treatment procedures, which could impact some operations. The city says if your business involves water treatment, you should consult with water experts to prepare. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft.
We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, the Shaw, and rebroadcast throughout the state on your Civic radio stations. I mean, Danielle, we're on like 13 stations throughout the state right now.
Yep. Most of Wisconsin's listening.
I mean, Anastasia from behind the booth.
Yes, hello.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
If you think about it. I was up north. I was in Clam Lake, Wisconsin the last couple of days, and someone approached me and said, I love listening to your show. And I said, what are you talking about?
Okay, I'm raising my hand.
Yes,
Dan. Where in the world is Clam Lake or Carmen, San Diego?
Clam Lake is up north, Wisconsin.
Up north, eh?
When you,
Where is up north? Because to me, up north is like... Even Danielle. Fond du Lac is up north.
I know, but they up north has a different view as to what up north is than we have up north. When I was little, we would go to my grandparents' house and they'd say it's up north. Mm-hmm. It was in Plymouth. That was like an hour away. That's not up north.
No.
So if you're coming from the border of Canada, we were up by Leech Lake with the Fowl Life. Chad Ooh. Belding and I were over this weekend with Benelli. Selling Benelli shotguns. It was awesome. It was so cool. And I drove back through Duluth. If you come back through Duluth, right under Lake Superior there, and you cross over into Wisconsin, Clam Lake's about 30 minutes into Wisconsin.
Oh, so you're up north.
Like, have you noticed that lately there has been this, like, fall in the air just ever so slightly?
I'm wearing my cardigan, that's why.
Yeah, that's a little wacky because it's still like 75 degrees out and I was still sweating today. But that doesn't surprise me that you're wearing a cardigan. For some reason, you're cold more often than
I am. Not cold.
I am a lot more fat.
I am not
that's
cold.
The problem.
You're not fat.
You're wearing the cardigan for fashion?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, 1987 called. They want their cardigan back,
I guess.
It is
the softest thing ever. Leave me alone.
So when we get to, like, this point, and we have such awesome guests we're going to get to today because they are here to talk about the thing that gets in my blood and makes it surge and makes my hair stand on end. Food for sure. But you start to smell it and feel it in your veins that waterfowl season's coming. We are within about two weeks of the goose opener.
We
September
are.
1st.
I'm very thrilled
it's
for it.
It's on a Friday. For all of my bosses out there and clients, I will definitely be working Friday, September 1st, after we get a goose limit.
Why are you winking? Okay.
Because you can't see winking on radio, so thanks a lot. But so I get in that, I get all jazzed up, and I start making pot pies. So I made wild turkey pot pies from the turkeys that I got this spring. And I have to tell the story because this is a fascinating story. I don't know if I may have briefly told it before, but I was going around scouting about 5-6 years ago or so, and I met some farmers, Daryl and Tammy Payne, and they were just the sweetest people, very welcoming. I ended up having conversations. Tammy Payne found her birth mother. It was just they're a fascinating family, and I go and so they had allowed me to hunt a couple times. I was very blessed to be able to do that, and I knew and I grew as friends of theirs. You know, this is one of the things we talk about with scouting. You get to learn how farmers' lives work. You get to learn how the important things to them. And that makes you a much more appreciative user of the resource because you see what they go through, how hard the farmers in Wisconsin work. And I developed this friendship. So I show up at their house one day just to shoot the bologna or bring a pot pie or say hi or say thank you. Tammy Payne comes out and she says, look at this picture. Have I told you this story?
You have.
It's so crazy. My dad is on the picture. Her husband's grandmother was sisters to my grandfather.
Yeah, so out of all lands.
Out of all the people in the world, I end up, you know, friends with them, and I had some hunting experiences. And so now I'm just like, hey, cuz, what's up? What's up, cuz, when I go see them. And they're just the sweetest people, and we're literally blood related.
Yep.
So my one daughter, who is not engaged yet.
I cannot wait to talk about that.
Can't date their sons.
No. Oh, gosh. So, that's exactly what everyone was thinking.
That was going to work out or not in the first place, but now it's not possible because we're blood related. That's a twist, isn't it?
That is a twist. That is a fantastic thing, though.
I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, for those people who are kind of afraid to go and scout and knock on doors, yes, you're going to get the occasional no. You're going to get frustrated from time to time. Mm-hmm. But the friends you make and the people you make and the way you advance life experiences is really something else. And I'm going to tell you what another really cool thing about how this show is growing and folks around the state are starting to follow it. I get a call today from a guy named Cody, and out of the blue, he's at the Waukesha Farmers Market, and he's talking to somebody about raised in Wisco, and he works for Reaction Tackle. Now, this is a tackle company out of Beaver Dam.
Wait, was he at a booth at the... Was he just walking around, or was he at a booth?
You know what? I didn't ask him.
Oh.
I don't even know. I think he was just there.
Oh.
And you know, WAUK had a booth there, and he started talking to Johnny Watermelon about it. So this tackle company, Reaction Tackle, started in 2016. They were making these jigs and swim baits out of a garage. And now they're like this company. And so
that's how the wonderful companies start, though, is out of the garage in the basement. And all of a sudden they bloom.
How fantastic. And they have awesome prices on their jigs. And we have to have him on the show. I mean, what?
That'd be fantastic.
How great would this be?
I need some new fishing techniques.
Yeah, absolutely. And you teased me before that I don't fish anymore because I do have such a vivid passion for hunting. But I mean, we've got to have the Reaction Tackle guys on the show and talk to them. I mean, when you really don't have to look far in the state of Wisconsin to find fascinating stories, great businesses that have started up that influence the outdoor industry.
And everybody has one thing in common. We all love the outdoors.
Yeah,
outdoors is for everybody, even non-hunters, even Anastasia. You know, she's not out there hunting like us, but
no,
there's still connections that we still have with her and her family. Like, they hunt.
Oh, of
course.
Used to hunt. Even those people hunt.
I never said that. Look, the state of Wisconsin's got so much to offer everybody. Mm-hmm. Hunter, non-hunter, fisher, or angler, non-angler, outdoors person, hiking, kayaking. In fact, there are a couple things I do want to talk to you.
Dun, dun, dun.
So here we go. Here it comes. Get ready for it. Sean Gibbons is here. He's very involved in the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo coming up. And Todd Schaller is here. Not only is he involved in the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, he's a huge part of the WWA. And wait for it.
Holding.
He's part of the men and women in brown. Those people that are whispered in the dark of night.
Gray.
Gray. Some other states must have brown or tan. The wardens. Todd Schaller spent years as a warden. Folks, I'm going to tell
gray.
You. Now, in gray. I'm going to tell you this. And Danielle, I know you're going to agree with me on this. And Todd, you're going to have your time. There are many people who go in the fields and waters and woods of Wisconsin, and their biggest fear is to not come across a warden. What? Danielle, that look on your face. Say it. Don't think it. Say it. This is radio.
Don't spray it.
We can't even see your expression.
I had the best experience with the warden. Yeah. Somebody's actually said it. I had the best experience. You know why? Because I had to correct him. I'm like, nope, you're doing it wrong.
Whoa, how did that go?
Okay, so this is, I was in North Dakota, and it was snowing.
Okay,
it was the complete whiteout.
Let's be clear, Todd. This was not under your jurisdiction.
His name was Todd. No, I'm kidding.
This was not under Todd's jurisdiction. This was North Dakota.
So it was North Dakota. It was the complete whiteout. It was just an out-of-nowhere snowstorm. And I have my Browning Maxis, love my gun, but it gets jammed every once in a while.
That's because it's not a Benelli.
No, Lordy, dog. And so it's completely jammed, and I see a warden. He's just chilling, and he finally comes up to us because I'm walking back to check on Bannon because it was too cold for him, so I left him in the truck. And I'm like, he's like, oh, coming out to me. He's like, is your gun loaded? I'm like, yeah, it actually is. It's jammed. I can't get it. And so he grabs the gun. I'm like, can you help me? And he starts doing it. I'm like, hey, can you not point that towards me, please? He's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, well, this is really jammed. And he starts, like, banging it on the bed of the truck. I'm like, what are you doing? Can you not?
Well, I don't even really know how to respond to that, and I'm not going to make Todd, since he's never dealt with the South Dakota,
and I'm just,
North Dakota warden.
I'm just laughing. I'm like, hey, can you not do this? I'm like, would you like some goose or some duck or anything like that? But can you not shoot me? Thank
well,
you.
Needless to say, he probably did not give you a citation of any kind.
Oh, no. He said okay. I was very friendly. He loves when Wisconsin people come out there.
Good. Well, we do have a certain reputation. And I want to say for those, you know, anyone in law enforcement, first of all, wardens are not only the most potentially threatened versions of law enforcement, they are the ones who deal with the most dangerous, potentially violent situations because many of the people they approach have got firearms on them and very often loaded at the time. So any of the preconceptions of police and wardens, you know, oh, I don't want them. They're just trying to give a ticket. They're not trying to give a ticket. I want to say, while Todd Schaller was chief warden, and in many cases it has continued since he was chief warden, and his attitude is exactly what the people who are out in the field and on the waters of Wisconsin want. Todd is an incredibly reasoned guy. I've known him for the better part of two decades now, and I'm just thrilled because, number one, he will answer the tough questions. Number two, he's got incredible insight. And number three, most important to me, he's a serious waterfowl hunter.
Oh, boy. So I got a question within that question. So when you say the tough questions, what are the tough questions?
Well, you know, our wardens coming into the field and to give a ticket, or in a scenario where it's a gray line, do they automatically cite or do they give someone the benefit of the doubt? I mean, those are some of the things people want to hear answers to. And I think the better relationships we create with the men and women who are enforcing the laws, because a misperception by many is that so many people who are in the field are out there to poach or out there to bend the rules. And the vast, vast majority, 95, 99% of the people who are going into the woods are doing their very best to do their very best.
Yes.
They are not trying to bend any rules. And I think the very best in law enforcement certainly understands that and utilizes their own. They're given a lot of leeway in their judgment.
Are you?
Timothy Holt is on the line. We're going to get to him as soon as we come back for the break. We got 1 minute left. Sean Gibbons, I'm really glad you're here. Thank you for coming.
Very excited.
Todd Schaller, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're sitting there saying, yeah, this is great. I haven't even had to talk yet.
How are you doing? Just wait.
Are you ready for the season?
I am, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it like everybody else. Like I say, 14 days away or something like that.
You chase those long tails. That's something that gets me nervous.
Yeah, I like the big water. That's my interest. So although I do teal, I do early goose. So I got to wait for the big water until middle of October. So I take advantage of the early seasons.
Woo!
That's awesome. All right, we got our first break. When we come back, did we lose our caller, Anastasia? We lost the caller. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block
of Wisconsin-produced radio. Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens. And Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with the lows around 53. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Highs level off around 76. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 57. Turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the low 80s to the upper 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Fairman, that's you.
That's me. This song reminds me of the show Friends.
Okay, it reminds you of the show Friends, but it was not the theme song to the show Friends. It was, however, the theme song to a very popular number one television drama sitcom from the 90s. Can Todd Schaller, can you name it?
Dun, dun.
I cannot.
Sean, can you name it?
No.
Party of Five.
Okay.
It was actually the song Party of the show Party of Five, which kind of had some Friend-esque qualities to it. We went into the break talking about how awesome it is to be coming up on fall here. We're just within 2 weeks of waterfowl hunting in the state of Wisconsin. Todd Schaller, former chief warden, serious waterfowl hunter. I mean, what makes a guy like you who's had an entire career in law enforcement, not only law enforcement, but the highest level of law enforcement, leave that and then in your retirement dive into something like waterfowl?
Well, I didn't dive. I've always been into waterfowl. So it was just basically kind of continuing that and having in retirement, having more time to do it. But diving into it from an expo perspective,
Let's talk about the expo. It's coming up next week.
And the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, it was my opportunity in retirement to stay engaged in natural resources, something I'm committed to, always will be, but do it on a volunteer basis and have more time for chasing teal and geese and ducks on Green Bay.
Do you think you have a... Okay, here's a question. Here's a question that eats at me. Now, in your capacity, you work with the Waterfowl Association, you're working on the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, you run into tons of people who are avid waterfowl hunters. Do you ever get them around you and they're talking to you about how great waterfowl hunting is and then they start bagging on the wardens?
No, actually, I haven't.
I never thought about that.
That hasn't happened. And I don't typically, I try to, I, I don't identify what my past was.
Right, right.
Because that's really not important when I'm talking to people. But I guess maybe knock on wood that hasn't happened, but I'm sure someday it will.
You know, I think, am I wrong to think that the culture has changed and is changing between law enforcement in general and the people who utilize the outdoors? I feel like we've really worked on the education of understanding that asking a question on the front end is much better than not knowing and potentially doing something wrong.
I agree. I think it has changed. I think it's really become more of a team concept.
Right.
I mean,
we're
all on the same team. You know, law enforcement in natural resource field, wardens and hunters and anglers and park users and hikers and bikers, we're all on the same team. You know, we're really there to make the resource better, to make it safe. And asking on the front end versus running into a problem on the back end is a great way to do that. And I think wardens are always appreciative when people do that and try to find ways to create that energy.
Yes, and I think there's a difference between law enforcement officers who work for a municipality. They got a tough job, okay? A lot of times they got a really tough job. But they're covering everything from traffic stops to criminal offenses to bar fights to domestic calls to drug use. And so you become a police officer in many cases, I think, because you literally want to contribute to the betterment of society and law enforcement. And we live in a community and a country of laws, and those being followed is important. I think, even though I think one of the quirks or one of the interesting things about being a warden is that I truly believe the vast majority of people who go into police work as a warden is because they share that love for the outdoors. And that's kind of where they're directed to. And I think the more that we can emphasize and understand that there's much more in common with everybody who's utilizing the resource and those who are enforcing the utilization of the resource because they love the resource.
You're right on. I think that's why wardens get into that type of work, is that's their love, that's their passion. I think another big difference is law enforcement, traditional law enforcement, they seem to be going from call to call to call. So a lot of their interactions with the public are a traffic stop or a domestic, you know, a negative.
Right.
And it starts off on a negative side of things.
Right,
as a warden.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah. As a warden, I mean, I could check 100 different people, fishing or duck hunting or deer hunting, and there wasn't a violation. I'm just checking their license. Their guns are good. Their shells are good. Their bag limits are good. We talk about how they had a good outing or a bad outing, mm-hmm. or where the fish are biting or where the ducks are flying, and you walk away.
Yeah.
And there's not one negative side of that. And that's the thing that I really like to do as a conservation.
I wish I could participate in this conversation more, but I have no negative outlook towards the police officers or wardens because I've never had a bad experience.
Yeah, I can't.
Because I feel like if you do right, I know it's so easy for me to say, but if you do right, you feel like you're completely obeying the law. Why are you nervous? Yeah, I'm going to go up to a warden or a warden comes up to me. I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'm going to treat you just like a friend because I don't know how else to treat you.
Yeah.
But it's I don't understand the whole negative outlook towards wardens because everyone's like, oh, there's a warden behind every single tree. Well, why are you so sketched out about it? Like, why are you sketched out?
If you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't care if there's
exactly.
a warden behind every tree.
And I'd be like,
secondly,
where?
There's no chance there's a warden behind every tree because they are way too thin to begin with. And I'm going to tell you from, and I think this is, I'm also 52 years old, so I'm substantially older than you, Danielle. But I will tell you, I have had negative experiences. I had a very specific experience that was broadcast statewide.
With a warden or a police officer?
With a warden.
Oh.
When I shot two turkeys with one shot and called myself in and was told one thing. And then because of some potential political realities in the job I held at the time, was treated maybe differently than someone else would have been treated in that scenario. But what I will say is it has not changed the attitude of what I would do in the future. If you make a mistake, there are wardens out there that honesty will rue the day for sure. Yep. And I've even had scenarios while I was in that position where I have shared with warden certain information to ask them what's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And 99% of the time, you're going to get an honest answer that comes to a resolution that's going to be satisfactory to everybody. And that's how fast the show goes. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sean Gibbons. He's actually here, too. And we're going to focus on the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo. We'll be right back.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. As remains of 111 people are recovered after Maui wildfires, emergency managers say they did not activate sirens because they would have sent people into the fires. Tourist Christina Lee Garrido on how she survived.
We could not see another living soul on the way from our room to, and it was thick black smoke, so we knew we needed to get to the pool. There were no other options.
A wildfire is approaching the capital of Canada's Northwest Territories, and residents are evacuating, Environment Minister Shane Thompson.
Unfortunately, our wildfire situation has taken another turn for the worst, with the fire burning west of Yellowknife now representing a real threat to the city.
Smash and grabs and flash mob thefts at retail stores have prompted L.A. Mayor Karen Bass to form a multi-agency task force to fight
them. Our number one job is to keep Angelenos safe and to feel safe. When incidents of brazen theft and robbery occur, it shatters that feeling of safety.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The entire area is expected to experience several days of Canadian wildfire smoke and haze, leading to that air quality alert running through Monday morning. If living along the Great Lake is appealing, an option is coming soon to Oak Creek. Nate Wegehopt has more.
A Milwaukee real estate company is putting up 28 townhomes at its Lakeshore Commons project in Oak Creek. The four rent townhomes are part of a larger 66-acre redevelopment. The city of Oak Creek contributed about $1 million in tax incremental financing to the project, which also includes the development of apartments and expanded public parkland along Lake Michigan.
Milwaukee's streetcar has maintained steady growth in ridership. The hop provided more than 65,000 rides last month, a significant rise from June's 50,000 rides. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Joel, who is this singing?
You know,
oh, man. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Danielle Fairman, alongside Joel Clayfish, alongside the artist. purpose of this song, Joel Clayfish.
Nobody can say that I am not afraid to make fun of myself or laugh at myself. Life is far too short not to laugh at yourself.
It is definitely true.
It's not a horrible song.
No, it was Kill It, Clean It, Cook It's
song. Theme song.
Yep. And for years. Me.
You were in that. You were in the video.
I was.
Turkey hunting with me, I think.
It was. It was our turkey hunting where you called it from a whole, like, 2 football fields away.
That's right. I believe. We called it in.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Speaking of calling it in, give us a call at 844-967.
We got someone on the line. John Do Kellogg. We? John, are you here? Is John here? Is John ready to go, Anastasia? John?
Give me a second. I'm screening a caller.
Oh, right. Look at us go. Well, give us a call at 844-967-2789.
We screen callers on this show, which sometimes.
That caller's available if you want to take him, yes.
All right. We can take it.
Why did you say it?
Like... Sure. Should I be afraid?
Yeah.
No, I'm just dating him. That's the only problem.
Oh, wow. Then we really want to take him. John, you're dating. So Anastasia, our producer, is dating the caller. John, welcome to the show.
No way. I'm so excited for this.
What can we do for you, John?
What do you need?
Well, I was just going to. Hi. Nice to talk to you guys and the game warden. I was just going to suggest that Anastasia, your producer, play the Friends theme song. just to mess with you a little bit. By the Rembrandts, just to see, but she's kind of pulled the double reverse jiu-jitsu card on me and just put me right on the air so she doesn't have to deal with my suggestions.
Well, I'm going to do one better than she does. First of all, she did pull the double reverse jiu-jitsu card, I think you called it, but she is in there and her face is like 7 shades of red right now.
You can
now.
All see it on Facebook
so
Live
on
right
Facebook
now.
Live, you can see it. But John, I would like to extend an invitation for you to personally come on in the studio.
I second that.
And I'm going to tell you something. I come from a perspective of a very, very fresh perspective of approval of boyfriends right now.
Oh, do you? I cannot wait to talk about this. Do not ruin my. I'm gonna talk
go
about
ahead.
It.
Go
well,
ahead.
We got to finish talking with John.
Go ahead. So, John, yes.
Right?
So,
okay. No, I think that's a good idea. That would be like the triple reverse jiu-jitsu card.
K-O.
And if I could say that without stumbling over my words, I would use it in future conversations. Danielle, what are you talking about?
I want to talk about the wonderful epic proposal of your daughter.
Ella Rose.
I want to pull the girl card, and I cannot wait to talk about this. So, everybody in the world knows about this, so I'm going to tell you guys, just in case you haven't. So, Ella Rose is this... I don't know much about actress, but she's a phenomenal actress, right? Fantastic. Everything about her is wonderful.
Great singer.
And so she's doing Cinderella. And I believe on the Sunday night, the closing night, do like I'm going to call it a closing song. I don't really know.
A curtain call.
A curtain call. And they were singing a song, and then all of a sudden, her boyfriend.
Who played Prince Charming.
Stopped and started talking to the whole entire crowd about how amazing she is and how she put her heart and soul into this show. And started saying 2 years ago how he prayed to God that he would find someone that's all into everything that he's into. Turns around and says, I found her. And then Ella starts crying, and then I start crying, even though I'm on screen. And then he grabs the ring out of his pocket, kneels down in front of everybody, Prince Charming proposing to Cinderella. Like, the actual love story fairy tale.
Yeah. And People Magazine covered
People
it.
People Magazine. Even,
and the Journal Sentinel and the State Journal. And
dreams.
Some...
Goals.
It was pretty cool. I have to be honest with you. Nobody deserves it better than Ella and Gabe. They're just two really good kids, and I think it's by some miracle they found each other because they're both really into theater and singing and opera and music. Yeah. Like, they go on dates to museums and high tea. I mean, how do you find somebody like that? They're perfect for each other, and we're super excited to welcome Gabe into our family. No doubt, he's just a great kid. And my daughter goes back to school at Baylor on Saturday, so my heart is breaking when she leaves. However, I know the house will be a little cleaner. Sorry, Ella Rose, if you're listening, but my goodness, having you two, you and your sister, tear up the joint. But I love ya.
That's adorable.
I love ya. Oh, it's adorable.
All right, now let's go back into hunting.
Back to my proposal.
Oh,
I would like to take you up Todd Schaller on actually fishing for longtails this year. I think I've gotten
Hunting for longtails.
I think I've gotten myself to that point. But Sean Gibbons, the poor guy's been sitting here listening to us yammer on. Sean, I want to know when you started to get into waterfowl hunting, why you have this driving passion for it, and all the work that you do for the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, which is just a week away.
Sure, yeah. So thanks for having me on the show as well. I've been waterfowl hunting like probably like Todd almost all my life.
You're an icon. I mean, if you mention your name,
here we go.
I'm not saying you're old, but you're like an old. You're not old. But you're right. I mean,
right.
We're probably about the same age, but people. I mean, your name is synonymous with waterfowl hunting in the state of Wisconsin. That's fair.
Yeah, and love to do it not only here but nationwide. So we got a place over on the Mississippi River. You know, Todd's on the one side of the state. I'm on the other side. Everyone here is Pool 9. You know, I'm like 5 minutes away from the launch. We're very blessed to be able to hunt over there. We go up Pool 8, 9, 10.
What are you talking about?
Pools. The pools on the Mississippi River.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, they're called not pools. See, this is they're the most beautiful pools. Thing about it. Right? The Mississippi is the most hidden gem in Wisconsin.
There you go.
Everybody knows you talk about Wisconsin. You're like,
Todd's
Door County.
Yeah,
right? I know
sure
Door
do.
County, right?
Because
I
Sean just
Rhinelander.
Gave away the secret. He gave it away.
I did. I just
gave away the secret.
That's okay, because now I want to. I was thinking either A, shooting pool, or
I
like.
I want to go to pool, man.
I want to go to.
What's there? I don't know.
Can we shoot darts?
Is, but I want to go
Sean
there.
Sean said it's a gem. So we do a lot of hunting there. Been hunting that for 20-30 years. Fantastic. And it's just getting better. It literally
isn't
just
that the
better.
Greatest thing. The flyway's changing in a way that we're
windmills.
Seeing more waterfowl here
right.
than we ever
right.
have.
And we're seeing it even at the water levels are changing, right? They've been very high for about 5, 6, 7 years over there. Now they're kind of down, and the wild rice is coming back. Just phenomenal.
Awesome.
Just absolutely phenomenal.
I can see you getting excited about
right?
it.
Right, so the cans are just stupid. The mallards are just crazy over there.
Oh, I love it.
We're very blessed. In same time frame, you know, late October, all of November is our sweet spot in that space, as long as we don't get iced out.
How did we get lucky enough to have you? I mean, honestly, how did we get lucky enough to have somebody like, you know, the former chief warden and somebody like you get involved with the Waterfowl Hunters Expo? How are we lucky enough that you guys devote your time volunteering and working for these causes? How did that happen?
You know, it all starts out with a network of friends, you know, and somebody reaches out and says, hey, we got this thing going. You want to be a part of it. And it's the same thing. So Wisconsin is such a rich heritage in waterfowl, which a lot of us don't think. You always think waterfowl, Arkansas,
yep.
Texas. Right? We sell 70,000 licenses a year. We're ranked in number third or fourth in the nation of waterfowl.
What
we
is number one?
More geese per capita than any other state.
Yeah, right. It's phenomenal that we have this deep of heritage in here and outside of all the small entrepreneur businesses that are launched out of the state. And it's not just waterfowl, it's archery as well. So we love hunting, right? And I also, as you just said, we're getting older. So now we're aging through that process of giving back. And we love doing that part. So with the expo, my role is promotion of the expo. Make everybody aware it's out there. In any way that we can, and primarily anymore, it's all digital marketing, social media. Right, podcasts,
radio shows.
Yep, we're doing interviews, we're doing flyers, we're popping things out to your phone. Any way we can, we want to get people out there. And the show or the expo, we're on our third year. We're growing exponentially,
which is just crazy.
Yeah,
right? How many people are coming already?
It is. Last year we were like 130 vendors. This year we're going to topple off 150,
That's
160.
Crazy.
Our attendance, you know, first year we kicked it off, we hit about 300. Last year about 400. We're projecting over 3,000, 4,000, and now we're going to hit up to 5,000 to 6,000.
I don't doubt it at all.
We've had to double our space up in the expo at Sunnyview to accommodate the growth as well. Thank goodness they've been able to. We've got an the youth zone is blowing up this year. We're all about trying to bring the young people back into it.
That's what it's
for. So we've got shooting events, try before you buy type of things with shotguns. We've got a whole shooting venue that's there.
Wow.
The presentation stages are loaded up with formal science educational pieces. This year, Danielle, you're going to be part of it as well with the woman's panel.
Yep. I'm very excited about that. Yes. Five of us.
Yep.
Yeah. So tell us what Connie. That's going to be. What's that going to be like?
Well, Connie Markham is going to be hosting it. She's got five panelists, and all the ladies are passionate within not only waterfowl but also hunting. And the concept is to have the conversation drive towards letting people know just how important it is to have the ladies in the sport. And their challenges of getting in the sport, because it is. Mm-hmm. We also want to help, get the families involved. And they're our main lever towards that. So
getting in the families involved does include with the mothers, bringing the mothers and the fathers, and then the children will come. It's a whole and family daughters. Experience.
Tell you what, as far as like new hunters, new young hunters, well, first of all, I want to say, as numbers are going down, numbers of new hunters are still slightly on the decline nationwide. However, in Wisconsin, numbers of waterfowl hunters are going up. So I think, and if you're a waterfowl hunter, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're a waterfowl hunter or a turkey hunter, you're going to eventually be another hunter too.
Oh, yeah.
You get a passion for one type of hunting, and then it sparks in your brain trying a different type of hunting, whether that be big game, whether that be small game, rabbit hunting. Hunting begets hunting. And as we're seeing that grow, I think what you're talking about is capturing that and growing it. And I think there is nothing better to do that than the Waterfowl Hunters Expo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what are you looking forward to the most in that, Sean?
You know, I'll be honest. I
think the one of the main sponsors is pretty cool.
Joel. Who is that, Joel?
Right. Joel Clayfish.
Joel Clayfish, who's going to be cooking and handing out, and I figured out what I'm going to hand out this year. But go ahead. What are you looking forward to most?
So I got
to
say, last year you did your presentation late in the day, It's a tough venue, and he nailed it.
Of course he did.
The room
was
solid. And he fed the crowd.
Yeah. So
the speak wasn't like, hey, this is how you do it and how you make it. It's like, here it is, eat it, and let me tell you, because you're going to love it so much, how to smash it. So thank you for coming back again.
I'm
truly excited about having
you
should back.
Make, next year you should and, make and smash
crew,
burgers.
Right, and the whole crew with it.
Yes, we're going to have a crew of...
We're having a meet. You're sponsoring the meat call contest this year?
Yes, the meat calling contest is sponsored by Jargon. Well, we kind of made that up pulled that out of our sleeve. So bear with us, because we don't really know how it's going to go. What I will tell you is, though, Jargon sent the prizes the other day. We're going to have acrylic... Brand new acrylic Jargon goose and duck calls for the prizes. We've got provider brand spices, rubs, and sauces for the prizes. And we're going to have some Fowl Life and Banded gear for the prizes. So that's going to be sign up at the event.
Right, right. We don't
have a
pre-sign
up. And no age category, no pre-sign up. It's just going to, we're going to be winging it.
And the concept behind a meat call, is field calling.
Right.
Right. It's not the competition, the true competition calling that's going to get you down to Stugger, which we are hosting this year, the State and Goose Contest.
That's so cool,
too. And the winners to Stugger.
The
actual state championship official goose and duck calling contest.
Yep.
It's at that event. You have to go to this event.
Yep. Even the carving, duck carving contest.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I'm excited for that one.
The specimens that they bring to the show are phenomenal. Mm. I mean, they're lifelike. Phenomenal. And they have different categories, obvious working decoys, et cetera.
It's such an unbelievable talent. So,
I feel like we need to have amateur calling too.
Well, that's what the field calling contest is.
But you told me that I couldn't do it because I was going to. Yeah.
I would never tell you that.
Like 2 weeks. You're like, are you sure you want to do that?
Oh my gosh.
No, you need to do that.
This is like a Trump indictment.
So now you're actually on the hook. We're going
to
chase you down for this.
I would never discourage you from doing it. This is an amateur calling contest.
Right.
If I was even any good, I'd enter. Oh, what fun we have! I'm Raising Wisco. One more segment left. Bear with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 53 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 76. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows level off around 57. Mainly sunny skies Saturday, with daytime highs approaching 83. 88 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
There's a honky-tonk near the county line. The joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman, former Chief Wharton, current massive supporter, board member of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, Todd Schaller and Sean Gibbons, doing the fantastic promotions for the Waterfowl Hunters Expo, which is coming up, which is incredibly exciting. Make sure you go there. It's at the Sunnyview Expo Center in Oshkosh. The Fowl Life is a main sponsor of the show. I'm going to be cooking. Danielle, should I reveal what I'm going to cook, or should I keep it secret?
Well, I feel like we've talked about it before.
We did.
When you've been trying to decide for months, you've asked, should I do a pot pie or should I do...
Well, the votes have come back, and the people I've been running into have said the wild goose pot pie.
Oh, absolutely. Every time I will say pot pie.
I'm going to make probably 5 wild goose pot pies, and those are just going to be for the audience to eat. So it's not like you're going to get a sample, but you'll get a good amount, because if you have 100 people there and you cut each pie up into 20 pieces... You know, that's a fairly decent-sized piece. Yeah. And then we'll show you how to make it, because when you eat this wild goose pot pie, I'm not joking. I made turkey pot pies today, and it's basically the same recipe, change the meat out. You can use any meat, domestic or wild, and it's going to turn out fantastic, and we'll give everybody a sample of it to try while we're there. Now, I want to say, if you haven't thought, we've talked before on this show about how amazing it is to hunt Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And how most people go to Hawaii and they sit on the beach and they don't even know you're allowed to hunt there. You get a hunting license in Hawaii. You can hunt any species and kill and harvest as many of it as you want. Axis
as
deer,
many?
Wild goats. Yeah, there is
what?
No limit. Bucks, axis deer bucks. You can hunt the Catalina goats, which they call Hawaiian ibex, which are fantastic. So I've got a friend there. His nickname is Toast. He's a very dear friend of mine. I've been following him. He is on the island of Maui, and he lives near Kula, which is one of the areas that was completely devastated by the fires in Lahaina, which is an area that was devastated by the fires. And the really sad part of that is that Lahaina is kind of the historic old Maui, you know, and so there are artifacts in Maui, and there are historical artifacts and preservations in Maui that predate preservations in the United States, because the Hawaiian Islands are just very rich in history. And so our thoughts definitely go out to those folks. And Toast, my friend there, has literally stopped what he's doing in his life to give aid to the folks who live there, to give people a place to stay and give them food. It's a very bizarre scenario because there's essentially one road that goes around the island. So there were people literally inside of fire zones that had no way to get out, and they were airlifting them out. I don't think people on the mainland in the United States understand the severity and frightening life-changing events that are happening there. And I think when it's said and done, we're going to have more than 100 lost souls there. And so if you have any connection to Hawaii, or if you don't, please consider them in your prayers, because they're going to be rebuilding for years. And my hat's off to you, Toast. Make sure you stay safe in your rescue efforts. But, you know, this outdoor community, you know, steps up, and he's a real big hunter, and he helps with conservation efforts on the island there in Maui. But, you know, if you have any possible way to help out, those are our American brethren and sisters down there. Please, I do advise you to do it. I want to go back to Todd Schaller. You get out of this outstanding career in law enforcement and conservation, and you're a hunter, you're a fisherman, you love the outdoors. What possesses you to say, I'm going to give my time as a volunteer and work so hard on things like the Waterfowl Association and the Hunters Expo? Why? I mean, you've done your duty.
I think part of it, and John alluded to it, I think as you advance through the arc of hunting or natural resources, you know, you start out, it's all about pulling trigger and probably, you know, piles of pictures.
Pals make smiles, right. They say.
But as you get older and more experienced, you start to realize and start to recognize that in order to keep it alive, pass it on, you need to maybe take a different step or a different role. And that role is really giving back. And that's what I've done. A lot of hunters get to that phase in their life and give back, similar to what I do. So I think it's part of the growth of a hunter, which is really neat. As you said, they're about giving back to their community, their hunting community.
Yeah. You know, something that is always curious to me, when you are a warden and when you're a chief warden, you are a quasi-political figure, okay? You are hired, so you're part of an administration which is run by either Democrats or Republicans, a very political structure above you. And yet you have never kind of been, you've never as a person succumbed to politics being a reason that you can enjoy the outdoors. When somebody comes to you and says, well, why should I hunt for my food? That is a view that there are some Americans and Wisconsinites who are very opposed to, okay? I've always said, when I hunt and harvest, that animal's been living free its whole life, and one day it gets whacked and ends up on my dinner table, versus a cow that's born to be raised in a scenario and killed to be eaten, right? Yep. Which I also have no problem with, and a great deal of respect for farming. But when someone's opposed to hunting just to be opposed to hunting, I do have issue with it, because I think it's an incredibly ethical way to put food on the table. So how did you walk that line? And, you know, what do you say to folks? What do you relate to folks when they pose those questions to you?
Well, I think, hunting is a tradition. It's part of the United States foundation. I mean,
no question.
We've been hunters and gatherers before we were anything else, before we had lines on states, before we had reds and blues, we were hunters and gatherers. And so it's really just recognizing that and going back to that. And there's always going to be people who are going to be opposed to it. That's fine. That's fine. But I think at minimum, understand it, or at least try to understand it, and recognize that it's people feeding their families, going back to nature. It's more than just going out and shooting or killing. It's so much more than that. And I think until you actually experience that and live it and can talk about it, you're just missing it. And you really can't have a conversation around it without being part of it.
I think you just hit it on the head.
And we forgot to mention this, our loyal listeners, because I keep getting a text from friends that just now starting. So we have to say hi to Violet and Michelle.
Ah, so
yes.
We've got some new loyalists.
We have new loyalists, Violet and Michelle.
The Kennedy clan.
The Kennedy Violet clan. So I didn't want to like take it down, but listening. They're texting me and they're like, we love you guys so much. Oh, I was like,
I'm so glad they listened. They should come on into the show sometime and talk about what it's like to be new hunters. That's a perfect way. Todd Scheller, Sean Gibbons, thank you for joining us so much.
Thank you. So excited for the expo. Time.
And you hit it on the head. At the end of the day, I have left the blind with a sore stomach, and just because it wasn't for sitting up in the layout blind because we didn't kill anything, it's been from laughing and enjoying friends while you're out there. Get out and enjoy the great state of Wisconsin and all it has to offer. Listen to us on WAUK. See you next time.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.